Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Last week we looked at these same verses. Today we're going to review them as we look at another portion of our study. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to start today in verse 8. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Lord and Heavenly Father, please quiet our hearts and our minds, help our focus to stay on you. In your name I pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, last week we considered the biblical requirements for the deacon, as well as identifying many different church roles that there are available for ministries inside the church for anyone. If you missed last week's message, I would encourage you to go back and listen so you have good context for this week and moving forward. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about the deaconess. It didn't fit into last week's, and this week I tried to actually put elder and deacon in the same one, and once I got to page 15, I was thinking, you know, I should probably cut this in half. So I went back and made some changes. But again, let me just reiterate something I said last week. There are four important and biblically supported roles in the leadership of the church. Number one, the role of the pastor. Number two, the role of the deacon. Number three, the role of the elder. And number four, the role of the deaconess. Now, as we discussed last week, most Baptist churches have the role of pastor and deacon. It's written into the Baptist distinctives. There will be a few of them that have the role of elder, and there are many of them that will have deaconesses. Now, these are the group of people that make up the church's leadership team. Anyone can be a part of a church leadership team as long as they meet the biblical requirements. Now, in our text today, we read through the biblical requirements for the deacon. Now, in most roles of the church, the one performing the role is the one meeting the requirements. Typically, their spouse and children have no requirements to be met, except for those in leadership roles. In other words, if you're an usher in the church, you only have to meet your requirements. But if you are a deacon in the church, your wife and your family have to meet certain biblical requirements. And there are reasons for this, good reasons we're going to get to a little bit later. Well, look back with me at our text, starting in verse 11. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. All right, so these are the qualifications of the deacon's wife. The deacon's wife may not necessarily be taking on any leadership roles in the church. However, she is still required to hold to these biblical requirements if her husband is to fulfill his role as a deacon. Now, what's interesting about that is just because you may have a man that meets the requirements, his own requirements of a deacon, doesn't mean that he's required, meets the requirements of a deacon. If his wife doesn't meet those requirements, he doesn't meet those requirements. I've been in many churches and have looked at the role of deacon and have seen men who do not meet those biblical requirements who were in the role of deacon simply because of their wives or because of their children. Now, I want to talk about that because in growing up, I was a pastor's kid. And there were a few times that as I was young and even as a teenager that I would get in trouble for doing things in the church that my friends who were not pastors' kids did not get in trouble for. And I thought this to be particularly unfair. And even while I didn't necessarily get in trouble from the pastor, I remember people stopping me. I remember one thing I really liked to do. We had growing up, our church was very long. It was a very long church. Instead of building up, they built out. And so those halls were primed for running races down as an 8-year-old. I remember our friends running, especially in the basement. We would run long down the hallways afterwards. And I remember a few times people grabbing me and like, you should know better. You're a pastor's kid. You know, and I'm like, what? You know, what does that have to do with anything? Well, there are good reasons as to why God has a set of biblical requirements for not just leadership, but for their family. For instance, if a pastor, an elder, or a deacon met the biblical requirements themselves for their role, but they had a wife who was irreverent or a gossip and a slanderer or was not temperate or not faithful, then it would damage her testimony, the testimony of her husband, and the testimony of the church. Now, the same goes for the rest of the family. If the children of these same men in these roles are unruly, or they're creating opportunities to have a poor testimony, it reflects poorly on their parents as well as the church. Now, we also see that when a pastor, elder, or deacon cannot be a good leader and a good support to help his home family, they will have similar responses to their church family. And that is why church leaders are called to be faithful in all things. Now consider also that according to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, that when a man and a woman are united together in marriage, that they become one. The pastor's wife, the elder's wife, and the deacon's wife may not necessarily be in a church leadership role, but one of their most important ministries is to support and help of their husband. And when the husband is in a church leadership role, the wife will have influence in his life. This influence needs to be God-centered because the wife's influence will either help in his ministry or hinder it. Now let's consider the biblical requirement for the wife of the deacon taken here from verse 11. First of all, she is to be reverent. Now, showing deep respect towards God and the things of God is reverent. Those who are reverent will not handle God's word lightly. They won't be careless with it. Now, this is someone who is dignified and worthy of respect, reverent. We also see here that they are not to be slanderers. Now, a slanderer is someone who is talking about someone else in an unfair manner to the extent that they are damaging their character and hurting their testimony. This is gossip, but it actually takes on gossip a little further because they're not just talking about this person. They're going out and they're talking about this person to many different people for the intent to, sometimes for the intent to blast that other person and to knock them down, sometimes for the intent just to show that they're right and this other person is wrong. And it's very important that we don't have slanderers. It's important that we don't have slanderers in the ministry at all, but especially that it's not someone who is connected to a leadership position. This is something that really hurts the church. Now, thinking on the Ten Commandments, number 9 is Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, which says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Now, we often look at this one and it says, "Thou shalt not lie." But really, this is taking that a step further. It's not just about lying. It's not about taking what someone has said and slandering it and saying, well, no, they really didn't say this, or this was the intention of their heart. Because we don't know what the intention of someone's heart is. Jeremiah says that God is the only one that knows the intention of the heart. Now, we also see that Satan is the king of false accusations, which is why we need to stay far away from them. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." So we need to be cautious when to bring people in, even as slanderers. And, you know, as we're going through this study, think to yourself, you may think to yourself, you know what? I don't know if I'm ever going to be qualified to be a deacon or a deaconess. I don't know if that's ever going to be me. These are also important things for us to be looking at to say, hey, in your church now or in your church in the future that you're going to be a part of one day, you're going to have an opportunity to vote in a deacon or a deaconess. And I've been to many churches where when it's time to vote in, everybody's just like, hey, who are you going to vote for kind of thing? You know, oh, let's vote for Bill. He's a nice guy. Why not? And they don't look at the biblical qualifications of what a deacon is and a deaconess is. And it's important, too, to remind ourselves that these are the leaders of our church. These are the ones that are holding up the pillar of truth, that are guiding where our church should be going. It's important that we bring in people who are qualified, biblically qualified. And we also see here that from verse 11, that the deacon's wife is to be temperate. Now, the biblical view of temperate is not strictly connected to not drinking alcohol. It is about abstinence and self-control, being sober and clear in your thinking and perspective. It is a seriousness of mind and character. Those who are temperate will demonstrate a trustworthiness and dependability. They will discipline themselves in order to have a life that demonstrates godliness. Now, discipline is key in being temperate. And we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified." Discipline is very important with temperance. All right, we also see here from verse 11 that the deacon's wife is to be faithful in all things. Now, this is faithfulness to the Lord, faithfulness to the home, faithfulness to her spouse, and faithfulness to the church. Now, this characteristic is one that uplifts and makes every effort to see the Lord's work prosper. Now, in verse 11, we see the biblical requirements for the deacon's wife. This is also the biblical requirements for the deaconess. Now, a deaconess does not have to be married, but she still needs to meet the biblical requirements. And we still get an idea of her age here from the requirements given to the deacon. Again, no teenagers. We need wisdom from this group of people, and we don't find that in teenagers. Now, if a deaconess is married, her husband does not have to be a deacon, but he should reflect the reputation of those first deacons in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, where it says, "A man of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom." Now, as we discussed last week, the role of pastor was established first. The role of deacon was established next out of necessity. Later came the role of deaconess. And we see Paul talking about different women that have helped him throughout his ministry and throughout the New Testament. And once the church had been established and there was spiritual growth, over some time, we see the role of the elder needing to have a place. Now, just as the deacon's ministry is an assistant to the pastor's, so the deaconess's ministry is an assistant to both the pastor and the deacon. Now, the responsibilities, let's look at the responsibilities of the deaconess. The responsibilities of the deaconess is developing the spiritual life of the women and girls of the church for the best possible Christian service. Now, this means that the deaconesses are disciple makers. One of their primary responsibilities is to teach and to train other women to walk in godliness. Now, Paul in the book of Titus is writing to this pastor to help him with his church in Crete. And he writes in Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5 about the help of mature women. Not the elderly, but mature in age and faith. This complements the biblical requirements of the deaconess. In verse 3, it says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Now we also see the responsibility of a deaconess is visitation and care of the sick, needy, or distressed members of the church. Now again, this connects to some of the responsibilities of the deacons. But again, the deaconess is to be a help to both the pastor and the deacon. We also see preparation of the observance or the ordinances of the church, such as that of the baptism or of the Lord's Supper. Now, typically, the deaconess is responsible to set up the trays of juice and the crackers for communion and prepare whatever setup there is for baptism services. We also see for a deaconess, one of her responsibilities is overseeing meals and lodging for any visiting missionaries, evangelists, or other Christian workers who come to minister to the church. And we see another responsibility is being responsible for the floral arrangements and decorations of the church. If you ever walk into a church and you're like, well, I wonder who decorated this, it was a deaconess. It was not the pastor. If the pastor had done it, there would probably be, you know, like cars on the wall and old license plates and stuff, because that would look really cool together, especially like Corvettes or something like that. So my wife's shaking her hand like, this is ridiculous. We could like make a missionary team with that, I think. Anyways, not the same style as what the deaconess have. We also see that they are responsible for sending cards or gifts and flowers to members in times of celebration, sickness, or bereavement. If you have ever received a card in the mail from the church, even if it said that signed from your pastor, it was not from your pastor, it was likely from a deaconess. The pastor rarely sends out the cards. This is something that the deaconess takes care of. We also see one of their is taking care of being willing to help the pastor and deacon through special events and or circumstances that come up in the church ministry. Now, something else that they take care of is they take care of all social and fellowship functions at the church. If you ever wonder who prepares the food when you come in and, hey, all the food's already done, it's been taken care of by a deaconess. Taking care of the nursery, gathering nursery workers, putting together whatever needed items are for nursery care, preparing teaching material, and designating workers for the children's ministries. And then one of the last responsibilities that I have here this morning is being prepared to lead someone through the plan of salvation at service times. Typically, when a pastor is preaching, if someone was to walk the aisle that needs to know how to know the Lord as their own personal Savior, if it's a man, I call on a deacon to lead them through the plan of salvation. It's a woman, I call on a deaconess to lead them through the plan of salvation. Now, these are the basics that most deaconesses take care of in church ministries. There are many more things that the deaconess fills in on, as they many times care for the things that no one else is caring for. Now, the deaconess is a very important role in the church ministry. It is often a role that gets little to no recognition, but has a good deal of responsibility connected with it. The deaconess helps the pastor and the deacon with shepherding and discipling the church. Now, without the role of a deaconess, there would be much that is not being accomplished in the local church. And churches are limited to what they can do based on who is committed to serving in the ministry and what roles they are willing to take on. Now, when a church just begins, you typically have the pastor and his wife. The pastor and his wife reach out to the community and they invite people in, and they start discipling people. Now, with that small group, the pastor will preach on Sundays and likely have a weekday service of some kind, maybe even have a Bible study. Now, as the church grows, the need for a deacon and a deaconess grows with that. With two more in leadership roles, the Bible studies can expand. The discipleships can expand. The prayer and spiritual growth can expand. And that means more people in the church are being mentored and growing in the Lord. Now, over time, elders and their wives are developed and help to cultivate the ministry to help them help make the ministry strong in the Lord. So that is focused and God-honoring. The church grows spiritually with the help of the church leaders. The church grows physically with the help of the church congregation. As the congregation invites others in, as they work to develop their own spiritual gifts in the church will grow and be able to make a much larger impact into the community. Now, men, you have the opportunity to be a deacon in the church. Women, you have the opportunity to be a deaconess. And taking on those roles have great reward. It comes with honor, a great reward definitely in heaven for, but also rewards even here on earth. It takes time to prepare for the role. You know, we talked about this morning how back in the day I looked at other people who were much more spiritual than me, and they were 30 years old, and I had this idea that if I just kept going to church and reading my Bible every day, that when I reached 30, that I would just magically have this aura of holiness, but that wasn't the case. It takes time for God to develop you for your spiritual gift. It takes practice using your spiritual gift. It takes time for God to develop you for what he wants you to do in the ministry. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. That's why we need to put our spiritual gifts into work for the Lord and start working on them now so that God can use them and so that we can get better at using them. Now, we all have barriers in our heart that we need to break down. Pride is one of those things that is in everyone's heart. We all have some sort of pride that we need to deal with, and God needs to work on us, and we need to be able to let go of these things and be humble before him. As Paul says in Philippians 4, we need to be content and know how to be satisfied with what God gives us. We need to work on our humility through that. We also need to be working on serving God in our everydays, giving up the world in our everydays, focusing on holiness and righteousness so that our lives reflect him. And as we grow, we need to be ready to take on the roles that he has prepared for us so that we can be tested and proven. God has designed your life to be used for his glory. Don't create new avenues for your life. Don't live contrary to what the scripture teaches. Follow God's plan and learn to be content with what only he has provided. Now, as you're preparing for what God may have for you, be praying for your church leaders. They are called to shepherd you. They are called to care for you. They are called to pray for you. Your spiritual leaders are, and your church leaders are going to battle throughout the week for you. Be praying for them. Don't take them to granted. God has called us to pray for you, to encourage you, to disciple you, to help you in any way that we can. And as we are doing so, we are fighting those daily battles for our own lives through against Satan. We are fighting for you as well. Take that to the Lord in prayer this week, and let that be a time of prayer that you're praying for spiritual leaders as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the teaching that you've given us on the deacon's wife, the deaconess. Lord, we thank you that you have provided for us so perfectly through your word. You set up church leaders, and you set up biblical requirements for them so that we don't have to question who it is that we should bring in as a church leader. And then you set up not just requirements, but also an understanding of what we need to be doing with our time. Lord God, I just thank you that we have church leaders in place, that we have shepherds in place that can be shepherding others. I pray, Lord, that you would use your church leaders to glorify you. I pray, Lord, that as you grow your church, that you would grow the church leaders. I pray, Lord God, that you would help those that you have already set for the future to be a deaconess or a deacon. I pray, Lord, that they would have humility towards this. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to grow and to be encouraged. I pray, Lord, that they would seek to know you more and more every day, and that they wouldn't waste time and just assume that one day they will become holy, but Lord, instead help them to work on their righteousness. Help them to work on letting go of a little bit of the world, a little bit more every day, so that they can draw closer to you. I pray, Lord, for Campbell Bible Church. I pray that you would grow us spiritually first. I pray that you would grow us physically second. I pray, Lord, that through all of it, that we would glorify and honor you. Help us to be people that love one another, that encourage each other, that forgive each other. And I pray, Lord God, that this would be our mindset moving forward as we are a family together. Lord, help us not to forget that you are our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we are your children. And together we need to not just get along, but we need to thrive with each other. We need to care for each other. We need to consider each other. Now, Lord, we thank you so much for your love and your goodness. I pray this week that we would go out, that we would love others, that as we think about this season of love, the one time a year that people who don't care for the Lord will hear about the story of Jesus. I pray that we wouldn't waste this time, Lord. Help us to give the clear message of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that we would honor you in our everydays. And we just thank you, Lord, again for this time that we had to gather around your word. I pray that it would work in our hearts and our lives throughout the week. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.